Ruchnias is nitzchias, permanent. The kedusha of the neshama is something which is Torah, mitzvahs. That's satiate the neshama. Something which is not ruchnias, something which is physical, deteriorates and perishes. When I was 9 years old, I came to the U.S. from Ostrov, Poland. My father had a cleaning store. He was a tailor. He was a very honest tailor. The policeman used to give him clothes to clean. He had bound money there. He wouldn't return it. When Jack the tailor. She was a tzaddikis, my mommy. She used to travel a few miles every day to get milk from the farmer himself and sell it to the retailers. Turn a few pennies so they can support, get a baby for me. I did go to public school at first. And my father was RJJ, so I went to RJJ. That saved us at the parochial school. Then when I was 14, I went to New Haven. I was the yeshiva in New Haven, about 11 by Velazhi.
Rav Scheinberg, my father was a special Talmud. He was always known at that age as a person who learned all the time, a very big masmid. My grandmother wanted from him to get smicha the day of his wedding. He was at that time 19 and a half. But those few months, he crammed in to finish all of Yoredeya in order to get smicha.
I happened to be very close to Rabbi Scheinberg. I remember when he met my sister. When my sister was about 12 years old, my father came in and he said, "You know, Adel, I have a wonderful young boy for Basha." She was all of 12. You picked up your ears like anything, and you listened. And I thought, wow, she's getting married. So my mother said, "Who's the boy?" He said, "He's a tzatzke. I'm telling you, I see in him a great person. I just got him off to New Haven in the yeshiva."
I got my smear under the chuppah in Melepademia, near Russia. The water was 20 below zero there. We went to the Chofetz Chaim Zecheinu Levracha. It was hard of hearing then. So they had a yeshiva bochur, used to shout into his ears. Maybe there's a couple from the U.S. came to learn at the meal. So Chofetz Chaim Zecheinu remarked, "No, what's it all the godless? And the Rebbe can come from Himmel Gemenatera, can come from America Leonatera." So Chofetz Chaim Zecheinu was just, Hashem can come from heaven to give it to him. Well, why can't they come from America to learn it there? But then he says, "Yatom feine Kinder." That was his boy, Yatom feine Kinder.
In 1960, he decided to open up the yeshiva Toror. He started the yeshiva there with six boys. I even remember the first day when they came to the yeshiva, I was Chodesh Cheshvan, my mother came along with a basket, a knife, and some bread, and some salt. The six boys, that's where they started off. And those few years in America, the yeshiva grew. In 1964, my father came to Israel. He made this remark. He said two things. He said he was very, very impressed. Touched by the faces of the children in Yerushalayim. And he also said one more thing. That very much moved him. And he said that he feels that there could be a place for an American boy in Yerushalayim.
It's familiar with Kedusha, you feel it. It's a walking Kodesh, it's more conducive to learning. So they don't get stuck much more here than in the U.S. In the U.S. you see Rechev Rodwer, Rechev this, there's a Rechev Rashi. So what's Rashi doing in the street here? Rashi usually is in the Fumish and the Gemara. So something different here that you feel Rashi Kodesh even in the street as well, you see.
The yeshiva at the groundbreaking ceremony made a very, very moving speech. And the last words he ended off his speech was, "Nidorai la'Hashem ha'shalem b'sochecha Yerushalayim." My commitment to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I will fulfill in the midst of Yerushalayim.
The wish was to be here in the Chassid Beis Hashem. B'sechecha Yerushalayim, in the walls of Yerushalayim. This is the chassid Beis Hashem, the Rosh Hashanah. welcome in itself. It's so funny, there's a kedush that you feel. You find yourself in the Beis HaMikdash. I feel my bushes and it's planned the yeshiva. Yeah.
He gets up approximately 4 o'clock in the morning. And he learns, of course, in the morning until he has his man to put on the talis. He puts on his talis and tefillin. He davens every day by himself. And here in Mattersdorf, there's a special minyan, which has started many, many years ago. So he has the hookup with a two-way radio from the minyan. He knows exactly when they start. And he davens with them together.
You see his emotion when he davens. Just looking at him is seeing a tzaddik in our time. Every act, every movement of his body just emanates shechina of what a tzaddik is.
The realization of the spiritual life that will give the motivation to carry on. The importance of Ruchnis in our life, which should reign supreme over Gashmias. It isn't the bagel and lox that will make me happy, it's learning a Shikha Legamar that will make me happy. And doing a chesed with someone should give me happiness. Realization makes motivation. And the relation takes time until you realize something more important than life is just taivas. Life isn't as simple as they think, it's just enjoying goofiness. There comes a time where your body doesn't enjoy it anymore. You can't play any more pinnacle anymore, you can't play soccer anymore. But then what remains with them? Only spiritual things, which mitzvahs. Until you see.
He gets to the yeshiva approximately 7:45, and then he davens from Chazon Shishas till the end of the davening.
Why pray? What does he need to pray for? Because the fact that we beseech, we supplicate and ask Hashem, like a father wants his child to ask him, then Father will give all he asks to satisfy the child. If he doesn't ask, he won't get anything. Melech had a daughter, and she was married to another individual. She only came to daddy once a year to see the father. So the father said, no, I must come every day. So he didn't give her a reward, whatever she needed, until she came and asked him. So Hashem gave us the money every day. We should ask Hashem his mom for the money every day. Hashem wants us to beseech him, ask him, and feel as close as a child to a father is.
When he davens, he comes to a certain pasuk, and he starts crying. The regesh, the emotional feeling that emanates from the Rosh Yeshiva is what pierces every boy. There could be people who are cold, and here is someone who cares, very emotional, and you see his emotion in everything that he does.
I cry from joy. It's crying from joy, see. You feel you accomplished something. You feel happy, you cry from joy. We have to achieve something in life. We weren't born and created here, just stamina built. A certain reason and goal to be achieved. And it's just the Shom says, see that Shom Shabbatis? She's Bavi, Samatis, and the Lord, the Macher, Basabelom, the root of Chassidus, the very basics that one should realize, the realization. What's his tachlis? The purpose being created here, born here. The accomplishment of tachlis gives one his complacency, his tranquility of mind, and he feels happy.
After he finishes davening, he then goes in to have a small bite. At this time, it's time known that many people who want to grab a few minutes with him, sometimes in Shailas and Halacha, people sometimes come for problems. They know that that time is available.
And we have already said, it's a Shailas and Shalom Bayit. It was going to listen to four again, Elaine.
Rosh Hashiva is not known as a famous genius. Maybe he is. It's plain, hard work. 70, 80 years of not wasting any time. He has a sense of humor and a softness, but he could be tough as nails. How can somebody be both things? I think the answer is that when someone is plugged into the truth, whatever is the right thing to do, that's what you do. If it's to be soft, you're soft. If it's to be tough, you're tough.
Sometimes I go with him around the world. And so many things he does, not to offend people. Sometimes he's eating, and it's hard for him to finish the plate. And he will give me some of the food when the missus is not looking, because he whispers to me, maybe she'll feel bad that I didn't finish everything. It is unbelievable to have in our midst someone who is so sensitive to other people's feelings.
This easygoing personality of warmth and permeating an atmosphere of Menuchas HaNefesh has been something of his major qualities that has drawn people to him. His warmth, the warmth that he radiates, the personal touch that he gives, was something special. And this knowledge of understanding the Kochos HaNefesh of people.
So Rosh Hashiva is always telling us, as Bachrim, no different than you are. I remember once, someone came into the Beis Medrash, saw the Rosh Hashiva, and he said, Lefty! That's how he knew him, as Lefty, Lefty Scheinberg. And such a person can do it, so can you.
If you're not part of the cloud, you'll never feel part of the cloud. A father does for the child because he feels it's his own, you see. Likewise, the cloud is so. As a small big advocate called Share Yisrael, Share is Yisrael. Well, Kinnan HaBashem, but not Mashem Elokeichem, well, Kinnan HaBashem is. Klaus will always need Zofuya. So we called Kinnan HaBashem. But somehow people's selfishness separates them, you see. Otherwise, we all would feel for the Klaus. Klaus was not made up of Gashmises. At least we're not attached to a certain piece of land. It's nationalistic. Wherever we are, you see, Hashem is well with us and gave us his statues, his dinim, wherever we are.
After that, he goes up to say the Shirin Aloha. He developed a special Shirin asking questions of things which seem to be similar, but there's a difference, which became a classic in the Torah world.
אז זה גם בבית או...
אבל חשור המאבי מחטאיסה. ויורו כלך הלאסס כאם טוב על הבורך.
כן.
בבית זה בית שגדול. Because a lot of labor, you see, a lot of yigia to a rabbit in Halacha. You just can send past what's inside. You always have to compare things. And the comparisons, the little difference in between, there's no... They can't pass in that way. The distinction between common things is a difficult thing. Yeah.
He perfected himself in teaching Talmidim in Gemara and Rishonim and Achronim. He perfected himself as one of the giants in the realm of Halacha, answering on all Arba Chelki Shulchan Aruch. The Rosh Hashiva put out Svarim on different facets of Shulchan Aruch. He wrote Svarim mainly on the Svarim of Ketzos HaChoshen and the Sivas HaMishpat, which deal with the lumdis and the analytical interpretations of Chosh HaMishpat.
The Halacha has been accepted in the Shiddes Rashi as the day. Never of it. The Rishonayim, to be easy, the Tam Shit as well, So we put on two pairs of tefillin, one rosh and one tav. So some replaced two tefillin.
At the same time.
So Hacham do it, they say. But we don't do it, it's hard to do it, they say. So what we usually do, is you get up early in the morning, you say, put on the tefillin shel Arvei Tam, up to this man, and accept the new shalom, it's 52 before Netz is this man of tefillin, you say. Put the tefillin shel Arvei Tam on the day, you say, don't lose anything. And they put on Rashi.
No, so you don't want to take off Rashi and put on Rabbeinu Tam. So therefore, you put on Rabbeinu Tam, and this man is not Rashi.
That's right.
But I mean, according to the Mechaber, says a Yerushalayim should put on both. So maybe we should try to do that. Or
you're putting me on the spot. You just say
it's rare to have a Rosh Hashiva who's on one hand a great scholar, a great Talmudist, and on the other hand also knows halacha. Is one of the greatest people in the generation in halacha. I remember once I had made the mistake of accepting Shabbos upon myself Friday, because you're supposed to, you know, accept Shabbos early. And then I realized I hadn't davened mincha. I went upstairs to Rosh Shiva. In a half a millisecond, he took out the base baruch and pointed with his finger.
We get tzar for learning not because the learning itself, it's because the tzar that entails, you see. You gotta get up in time to daven. You got the shmitz and hover to understand the shtikal gemur. For the tzad that you have, the Hashem pays for you, see. The Ramchal zecheni levorcha, mishachayim lutzata, and that's tfunas brings it down. See, the Rebbe still wants you to enjoy chesed, we call this namadik suf. If a shnor comes in and gets something, he doesn't enjoy it. When you work, you toil. And you produced it, you enjoy it, you see. So the Rebbe wants to do the real chesed with us, that we should enjoy it, you see. Not that we call it like a shnorai. So he gave us the mitzvahs. Then we deserve it, you see. You told me to do something. Then what you've given me, reimbursement for it, the schar, is I deserve it, you see. It's not called namadik sufa. Not shameful, but you deserve it, you see.
And then he comes home, approximately before 2, and then he has what we call a Kabbalat Kahal. He takes up the public, people who come in from all walks of life, telephones and shaylas.
I'm just wondering if my zealous ring, he may feel that I didn't have feeling for it, that I want to sell it.
Why don't, can't you ask him, given a pinch? Given a pinch, you're in dire need of money. You like to sell the ring. Why not? Why can't you ask him point blank?
Alright.
Maybe he'll come across with some money, he wouldn't have to sell it.
Problems of shalom bayis, problems with children. Many times groups of students come from abroad.
What's the purpose of having Mashiach and Gilui Hashem? Why just have the Olam Haba right after Olam Hazeh?
You have to prepare for Olam Haba. You can't go to Olam Haba from here.
Preparation.
It's a big change. So you got to go through transformation.
Usually people who have a great head and are involved intellect don't have the heart. And people who have the heart aren't always those people who can focus in on a question in a very analytical, clear way. The Rosh Hashiva is a blend of head and heart. He's a giver in the most precious asset that he has, which is time and spirituality. Whenever he's meeting people and listening to problems, you could see on one hand an intense interest, but it's no longer than it has to be.
I'm going to ask for a bracha for my sister that she should be able to get pregnant. And from myself for a shidduch.
Slow to you as well.
Thank you. and my mother should feel better.
Well, salty and tamish bracha.
Thank you.
Cold too.
Everybody comes here to get brachas. Big people and little people, older people and younger people, from all different places, come here to spend the Friday night davening here and to get brachas. This afternoon goes on until about 7:15. When he gets dressed and to go back to the yeshiva to say his daily shir.
There's a special air of hashkafa that he gives every day, and his hashkafa helps mold many boys in becoming better, in becoming true B'nai Torah. He would give current events, what happens day in and day out, and explain the news al pi Torah. How is a boy supposed to look at what is happening in the world? He's going to be going out in the world. He has to understand what the world is. And that is what is very special, that my father-in-law tries to show, you see, this is what happened today, this is what happened yesterday. A Ben Torah is supposed to look at it in this special way.
And the purpose of the yeshiva is to realize, you see, what Hashem created him for, what is to achieve in life. Become a yeshiva b'chor, a Torah like a person, you have to give up much, see. You can't enjoy what the secular world does. You have no bagel and lox on Sunday morning, no lamb chops either. You don't enjoy these delicacies. So Tzavuva says, Yilu mazil ha-mava, two enemies, you see, you can't have both. It's either the shama life or the bodily lust, tigers.
He wants the b'chorim, the boys, to come away with a lifelong commitment to learning on a qualitative and quantitative level as possible. He believes that truly to influence someone else, you must begin your career of giving to others in the Beis Medrash, to people who aren't making it so well. You sit down, you learn with them, you encourage them. And I remember him telling us that the Ribbono Shel Olam will give you the time back.
To become a lamb, you gotta schwitz more, you see. And a horror more, as we could say. And the more Sadiq gets in his ambition to become the good Torah, and that is Hashem, that's more Sadiq than he would have had if he didn't have that size.
With the Rosh Yeshiva, is like a father. He always put in us that a student, a Talmid, is a child. And if you treat Talmidim as children, then you will have hatzlacha with them and they will be true talmidim to you. The Rosh Yeshiva doesn't only care about your spiritual growth. If you would see a boy not dressed neatly, he would tip his hat and said, fix your tie. He'll go and look in the room that it wasn't neat. He said, boys, I want you to tidy up this room right now. He cares about every facet of a person's growth.
I remember a bacher who had a good head, but his family back in the States was not good for him. And one day he decided that he's going home, and he went and he told the Roshiva he's going home. The Roshiva started crying. He broke down, because he was able to see in his mind's eye what was going to happen to this human being if he should go back to what I call the old country, to the United States. Right? He started crying. The boy stopped and said, Rebbe, you care so much about me, I'm staying. Today, that human being is an accomplished Torah scholar.
As a matter of fact, the boy is a different type of a boy, not only in the yeshiva walls. Wherever he is, he feels he's a happy individual. He achieved the goal of his life, you see. That is the basic reason for the limit of Tehar Deisher. We should feel, you see, this came Chayin, that is our protoplasm. This is our life in itself. It's not allegorical, some emotion. This is Kim Hayesh.
We talked about his daily, but we didn't talk about his Shabbos. Shabbos is a special day. Now, there's a story that goes behind the Shabbos that he's known not to talk on Shabbos except in Divrei Torah. He does not talk Divrei Chulin on Shabbos. And the story goes that many, many years ago, when a sister of mine was a small child, she developed pneumonia. And there were no cures at that time. So he undertook upon himself that he won't talk on Shabbos. And that's what she should have in a foolish shleima. Only in cases where it's dire and necessary, where he feels it's for a person's welfare, that it's very necessary to talk. They'll say something if necessary. When a person's in stress, outside of that, he doesn't talk except in the Divrei Torah.
ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם אשר בוחר בנו מכל העמים ונשן לנו את תורת ישראל ברוך אתה אדוני
תראו זה פרוטופלזם של כלל ישראל זה חיוס של כלל ישראל זה מור תירם יוד זה נעס שלום בייס מור שלום בייס זה נעס עם קינדלייס זה מור תיר זה מור לייף של כלל ישראל זה מור בנו למוק ומור להביר everything will be increased with the study of תיר and without תיר we have nil Every one of us can do it, to raise our Hashem and to perpetuate the Shivas of Tehra Deshi. That is the goal in the protoplasm, the life of Klal Yisrael. To continue this noble work, you see, I'm close to 90, Baruch Hashem. An old man, Baruch Hashem, Hashem Shalom. If you're able to continue the Shiva to grow and grow and grow, you see, I'll be as Mashiach Sitkin.